He has been a professional money manager for the last 18 years. He is a regular contributor to the Fox Business Channel and Bloomberg Radio. In addition to this, he is a regular contributor to TheStreet.com and MarketWatch.com. Now he's live here on the Wall Street Business Network. Here is Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the November 26th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Professional money manager Bill Gunderson reporting in from La Paz, Mexico today, where I'm on a little working vacation, but we're working away here. We've got the Dow down 11 points right now at 17,805, down just 9 points. The S&P is up 49 cents. How about that action at 2,067? Very quiet day on the market so far. The NASDAQ is up 7 points. The NASDAQ is at 4,765. It has the best of it here today. Gold, well, gold is at 1,197. Crude oil, $73.60. Still looking for that bottom. And we have the 10-year yield at 2.29%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management in San Diego, California. My subject that I want to talk about here in the first quarter of the show is buying stocks for dividends. You know, I have a style of investing. I have criteria. I have various criteria that I like to invest in. I like stocks that are undervalued, and I like stocks that are performing well. And a lot of times, those stocks also pay a dividend. I've seen numerous articles about stocks recently that have dropped, particularly in the oil patch. As the stocks have plunged, what happens to the dividend yield? The dividend yield soars as the stocks plunge. Well, it's just simple math. If you've got a $10 stock that pays a 50-cent dividend, well, that's a 5% dividend yield. If the stock goes down to 5, that dividend yield just went up to 10%. And I've seen a lot of articles recently recommending the purchase of some of these oil drilling stocks that have been plunging while their dividend yields have been soaring. And I would just tell you that buying a stock just because the dividend yield looks so juicy and almost looks too good to be true is not a good reason to buy a stock. You need the other two attributes, in my opinion. What are the other two attributes? And I'm going to use an example here in a minute of a stock from today's marketplace. The other two attributes are performance. So if a stock is plunging to new lows and the dividend yield is going up, what does that stock lack? It can't have very good performance. And I also have a requirement of a healthy stock chart. And if a stock is plunging to new lows, that's not a very good healthy stock chart, is it? A stock chart tells me whether the stock is flourishing or languishing. And in the case of Seadrill, which I want to use as an example here today, that stock has been plunging now since June of this year. In fact, in June of this year, Seadrill was at $40 per share. Today it's at $17 per share. Just what, 6 months later. And all along the way, the stock has been hitting new lows. Okay, now, there's a few lessons here. Seadrill, for one, would start to become attractive to value investors. In fact, as we look at the P.E. ratio right now of Seadrill, we see a P.E. ratio of 2. Yeah, that's right, 2. It's trading at 2x earnings. So the value investor would start to take note saying how cheap that this stock has become. Well, it was cheap a month ago. It was cheap 3 months ago. It was cheap 6 months ago, and it's continued to drop all along the way. It's currently trading at 94 cents of its book value. It's trading at a discount to its book value, which is another metric that value investors look at. It would be very attractive from a price-to-book value ratio. You could also look at its price-to-sales ratio, which is less than 2 right now. And, of course, its trailing P.E. right now is 2.48, okay? It's pretty hard to find a stock with a P.E. ratio of 2. This is a bargain too good to be true, right? Well, let's look at it from another angle. Income investors, dividend investors, would be licking their chops at a 22% dividend yield. That's right. That's as of yesterday's price divided by the dividend that the company's been paying. This stock sported a 22% dividend yield. Now, I can't tell you how many people during my 20-year career in this business have come to me with their portfolios, with their statements, and I've looked on there and I've seen $2 and $3, $4, $5 oil stocks with big dividend yields. I say, why are you holding on to this thing? This thing continues to hit new lows. And they say to me, well, I continue to collect the dividend. What do I care what the stock is doing? Well, you know what? There's basic math there. There's somebody who's flunking basic math. If you've got a stock that pays a 10% dividend yield, and the principal goes down by 20%, you have a total return of negative 10. But then they come back to me and they say, well, I'm still collecting the dividend. Why should I care? All right, go ahead, do whatever you want to do. Now, Seadrill's dividend yield is 22%. But the stock has lost more than 50% of its value. So while you were chasing that juicy dividend yield, your principal has gone to Hades in a handbasket. Okay, now, the rest of the story. Seadrill announced that they're going to suspend their dividend. Well, you know that's coming. That's the next move. They can't support a 22% dividend yield. There's no way. The stock is going down because sales and earnings are falling at the company. And when earnings fall, cash flow starts to drop. They start to get in trouble. The balance sheet doesn't look as good. They have to start laying people off. They start have to cut different expenses. And one of the big areas they're going to look at is, hey, we're paying a 22% dividend to our shareholders. That's got to go. So there's the results of chasing a big fat dividend yield. Company comes along, suspends that dividend yield. Now, having said that, not all attractive dividend yields should be held in a suspicious light. There's a lot of very good companies today that are paying very healthy dividend yields, but they're also very healthy companies. That's why those other two attributes have to come into your equation, into your analysis of the stock. Seadrill has one thing going for it, a fat dividend yield. But it's missing the other two. It's not on solid ground from a financial point of view, and the performance of the stock is enough to eliminate it from any consideration. A stock that's dropped from 40 to 20 and continues to plunge in a horrible downtrend, that's enough right there to eliminate it from consideration. I'm going to use an example in the second quarter of the show of a healthy dividend payer. No, it's not paying 22%. I mean, that should be your first clue that there's something wrong with the company if the dividend yield is listed at 22%. In today's world, a good high-quality dividend payer is paying more in the 1.5 to 3.5 range. Anything outside of that, unless it's a REIT, they tend to pay a little more right now. They're more up in the 5% range. They're pretty subject to interest rate volatility, however. And you're still finding some of the master limited partnerships, some of the pipeline stocks still paying about a 5 or 6% dividend. But you got to be even a little suspicious of that because oil prices continue to drop. But when you see 22%, don't go chasing dividend yield. Instead, today's world is a 1.5% to 3.5% dividend yield. Now let's throw in high quality along with that in the way of a top performer, well-managed company that still makes sense from a valuation proposition, and I'm on board with that. I'm not on board with chasing a 22% dividend yield. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app. Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
And welcome back to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Special Money Manager Bill Gunderson, as we prepare for the holidays. We got quiet trading in the markets this week, obviously. But there's enough. I mean, it's been pretty good. I think we've been up every single day so far this week, so we'll take that. And, of course, we'll have a half day on Friday, and then the markets will gear up for the run to the finish line in December. It's been a crazy year. It's been an up 10%, down 10%, up 10%, down 10%. We've had our share of worries that have caused volatility in the market this year. We've had a lot of geopolitical hot spots earlier in the year. Ukraine caused a lot of jitters in the market. Earlier in the year, ISIL or ISIS, whatever you want to call them, caused a lot of volatility in the market. And earlier this year, we had an Ebola scare. We've had global slowdown scares. We've been weaning ourselves away from, and now stimulus in the market completely gone here in the U.S. But fortunately for investors in the stock market, Japan has picked up the stimulus baton and is running with it. China is cutting interest rates. They've got a long ways to go. They were at 6%. They can go all the way down to zero eventually. The U.S. did. And, of course, you've got Europe now starting to do a little bit of a bond buyback program of their own. So, in my opinion, that should continue to be good for stocks. That should continue to be good for equities. The bond market, well, you know, every time there's some volatility, people run towards bonds, and that drives interest rates down. But as far as being a real money-making proposition over the next 3 to 5 years, I'm just not convinced of that. And my rankings that I do every day on indexes around the world and on asset classes, everything in my app has a fair chance. They're all equal. They're all created equal, whether you're a bond fund, whether you're a mutual fund that invests in European small caps, or whether you're an individual stock that pays a dividend. You all start off with the same chance of becoming a best stock now or a best investment now. And as I rank the asset classes right now, bonds continue to be at or near the bottom of the asset class rankings, and equities continue to be near the top of the asset class rankings. I continue to be in equities. And as I stated, I believe yesterday or Monday, I still believe that U.S. equities rule the roost. Now, that could change. In fact, I'm expecting a change next year, maybe late this year. Maybe some money moving away from U.S. stocks, which have exhausted the stimulus bucket. And that stimulus bucket's now starting to be filled up in other areas of the world. I do like to follow the stimulus. It's been pretty good to me for the last 5.5 years here in the United States. But having said that, my index rankings around the world still have U.S. markets as the top market in the world right now. And I think you could say it's probably because we still have growing growth in our economy here. With unemployment at 11.5% in Europe, 10.5%, and growth of zero, the stimulus isn't kicking in yet over there. And if it starts to kick in, then we'll start to look at some European ETFs or some European stocks. But as of right now, that hasn't happened. And as we look at Japan, the most recent print we have there on their GDP is negative 1.6%. The print before that was negative 7.5%, which was caused by a hike, a 60% hike in their national sales tax. Not a good idea. And, you know, I've been talking a little bit about the sales tax hikes, these national sales tax hikes, which, you know, it's probably just a matter of time before it's discussed in America. We live not too far from Mexico, being in San Diego. And over the years, I've spent some time traveling through Baja and also the mainland of Mexico, mainly with a fishing pole in hand, searching out some of the greatest fishing in the world. It's a very laid-back country, but it has its issues too. And they've had a major sales tax increase here in Mexico. And I would say that every time I come down, I see their economy slower and slower and slower. In fact, as I look around here at a top tourist area, well, it used to be a top tourist area, one of the great fishing spots in the world, the East Cape of the Baja Peninsula. And even though it's off-season for fishing, not really, there's still some Dorado swimming around. Hopefully we'll find a few this weekend. But there's usually a lot of holiday revelers coming down from America, getting away for the Thanksgiving weekend. And you know what? The economy down here, it is slow. I would say they are in survival mode right now in the vacation areas of Mexico. Now, if that's not enough, the hike that they did to their sales tax, which hurt the people that work down here, that live down here, they also continue to have a drug war that's taking place. This little town that we like to visit, which is La Paz, which is the capital of Baja, California, very, very sleepy village, very sleepy. Call it a city. I mean, it's big enough to support a Walmart and a Home Depot and a pretty good fishing fleet, Ponga fishing fleet and yachts and marinas and whatnot. We are just not seeing any Americans down here whatsoever. We were wondering why. And we've learned that finally the drug war has come to La Paz. And two of the big cartels, the Sinaloa cartel and the Michoacan cartel, are finally duking it out in La Paz, Mexico. And the place is crawling with federal police. Not good. Not good for your economy and not good for tourism. And don't forget, this place was just hit by a hurricane a few months ago, a hurricane that was devastating to Cabo San Lucas, just south of here, about 2 hours. And it also hit La Paz. In fact, as I look at my old fishing boat, the top to my boat, I now have a topless boat. Oh, it was just a canvas that protected us from the sun, but it's now somewhere in Mexico City, I think, by the time the wind died down. So we're down here doing a few repairs. But I'm telling you, you raise the taxes on the people, it's not good for the economy. And you throw in a little bit of volatility and violence in the way of drug wars or Ferguson or whatever it is, it's just not good for anybody. I've got a good example of a dividend payer. It doesn't yield 22%, but it's a high-quality stock. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
There's a child sitting on a hard metal chair, clutching tightly to the trash bag that holds everything she owns. She's there because her father abuses her, and her mother doesn't care. There are people all around her, but she's never been more alone. A social worker tells her not to worry, that they'll find a place for her soon, as she dials yet another number, this time to a group home, and then a shelter, and then a temporary housing facility. If she called you, would you make a place for this child? The Bear Foundation is a Christian foster care ministry, and our homes and families are made up of people just like you who, when called, answered yes. This is your call. Right now, there's a child or teen who's wondering, where am I going to live? Who will take care of me? You have the answer. Call the Bear Foundation today. For more information about Christian foster care, call 1-866-265-2476, 866-265-2476, or visit christianfostercare.org.
The stock market has never been busier or harder to keep up with. One day biotechs are hot, the next day they are not. High tech is down, low tech is up. And what about bonds and your 401k? So many questions coming faster than ever. But now you can keep up by subscribing to the Best Stocks Now podcast. Take it with you wherever you go. The Best Stocks Now podcast comes to you from the headquarters of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationally recognized firm that handles over $100 million in assets. Not a newsroom. That is why the Best Stocks Now podcast is one of the most popular shows of its kind, and why you see Bill Gunderson so often on so many national financial news shows. Just subscribe one time and it's delivered automatically to your smartphone or computer every day. And don't tell your accountant, but it's free and easy to find at pwstreet.com. pwstreet.com, the Best Stocks Now podcast. Don't miss a thing. Get it now.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Nearly every day you hear a tragic story on the news about a teenager and the internet. Well, Be Safe Online would like to share some positive news with you. News of families who have prevented similar tragedies because they were protected with the ultimate family internet filter.
A dad from Ohio writes, "It stopped the kids from getting on a few sites that they should not go to. And the best thing is the time restraints. Online time now ends promptly at 11 p.m. No ifs or just a seconds anymore."
Writes a mom in Minnesota, "I questioned my oldest son and he admitted that the ads he saw in a honey magazine made him curious. He went online to check it out and he told me Be Safe Online blocked it. Thank you so much."
And who can forget the dad in Georgia who wrote this? "With Be Safe's help, I managed to keep my 14-year-old away from a guy who, shortly after, was in the paper for raping another 14-year-old. God bless Be Safe. Go to BeSafeOnline.com and protect your family today. That's BeSafeOnline.com, the letter B, then SafeOnline.com.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, you can buy stock in Taser. Taser moves higher today after announcing the purchase of 623 Axon body-worn video cameras and a five-year subscription to Evidence.com by the Winston-Salem Police Department. Unrest in Ferguson is also giving the stock a boost. Well, in the first quarter of the show, I talked about chasing dividend yield. Not a good idea. I would also throw in chasing headline stocks is also not a very good idea. How are all those Ebola stocks doing that were flying off the charts back a few months ago during the Ebola scare? It's not a good idea to chase headline stocks. And the reason why is those headlines eventually disappear from the news. Then you're left holding the bag, aren't you? And I look at a chart of Taser here. It actually looks quite good. The stock is breaking out right now, but I just don't recommend buying headline stocks. And I also don't recommend buying stocks that sport big dividend yields. That's a losing strategy that over time, you know, things like Seadrill suspending their dividend. You know, I want to say that Ford did the same thing. When Ford went down to a dollar a share back in 2009, it seems to me that the dividend yield went up to about 6 or 7%. And people were coming into Ford and chasing the stock to get the dividend. And it wasn't too long after that that the Ford completely suspended the dividend. So now you're left holding the bag. Luckily, the stock has done pretty well coming out of that $1 per share. But those people that chased it for the dividend yield, it's just not a good way of investing, nor is it good to chase headline stocks. Instead, keep it simple. Buy quality. To me, quality, one of the big ways that quality is shown in a stock is by how it's treated the shareholders over the years, the returns that it's given. If you've returned solid returns for the last decade to shareholders, yeah, there's no guarantee that they'll continue to do that. But you're starting to look at quality, and then make sure you're not paying too much for that quality, all right? Let's use an example here of AmerisourceBergen, which I believe at one point in time, there was a company named Amerisource, and there was a company named Bergen Brunswig, and the two of them got together, and now it's AmerisourceBergen. It's now a $20 billion company headquartered in Chesterbrook, Pennsylvania, where I'm sure the frost is on the pumpkin today. AmerisourceBergen distributes brand name and generic drugs, over-the-counter healthcare products, and home healthcare supplies. And if you haven't heard me say recently, equities are still the best place to be as compared to other asset classes like bonds and gold and real estate. American equities are still the best place to be. That's two things going for AmerisourceBergen. And healthcare and drug stocks, pharmaceuticals, biotechs, etc., are still the leading sectors in the market. They've been leading the market for the last couple, two, 3 years. So AmerisourceBergen starts off on a very good note. It comes from a good family, doesn't it? It's been raised well. It's in the right neighborhood right now of the market. And as I look at a stock chart, the stock chart reflects it. As I look over the last 1 year, I see a stock that began the year at about $70 per share, and now it's $90 per share. Will the valuation support higher prices here? Well, let's begin first with the performance of the stock over the years. They've done some acquisitions. They've done some mergers. Has it been a good thing for the shareholders? ABC, that ought to be an easy ticker for you to remember, has delivered 22% per year over the last 10 years. That's the average annual return. If you take a look at where this stock was at 10 years ago, and where it is today, and you apply a simple compound annual return formula to it, it actually comes in at 21.6%. Okay, now that tells me something. That tells me a lot. It tells me that you've got some pretty happy shareholders here, and it tells me that you've got a stock that's weathered some pretty volatile times, because during the last 10-year period of time, it seems to me like we had a big financial crisis somewhere along the way. We had a great recession somewhere along the way. We had a bear market taking 53% out of folks' hides somewhere along the way. And yet this stock, when you average it all out, I'm sure it had some bad years and some good years, it comes in at 21.6% per year over the last 10 years. By contrast, the market has averaged a very volatile 5.7%. Over the last 5 years, AmerisourceBergen has delivered 30% per year, while the market's delivered 13%. And you know the drill, not the C drill, but the drill. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. But I like to see a good past performance. Over the last 3 years, AmerisourceBergen has delivered 38% per year to its lucky shareholders. And over the last 12 months, it's delivered 30%, while the market's up 14%. Okay, I've got a classroom of about 3,900 students. It's in my beststocksnowapp.com classroom. The classroom can also be found in the iTunes store on my Best Stocks Now app. The members of the classroom can also be found in the Google Play Store on my Best Stocks Now app. And when I put ABC up against the rest of the class and grade it on the curve, it gets a performance grade of A, top of the class. Well, I just read to you the performance of the stock, and we look at the momentum grade, which is what have you done for me lately. The stock also gets a momentum grade of A. So the performance has been there. And as of now, the performance is still there. It passes my performance test, which is about 40-45% of the total equation. Another 40-45% of the equation is valuation. How much do we have to pay for that doggy in the window? Well, ABC is currently trading at 18 times forward earnings. You know, that's about a market multiple right now. I believe the 4,000 stocks that are in my database, I think we're right about 17.6 right now. So this one's at 17.9. Market multiple, but I think it's an above average stock in the market. In fact, it's an A-rated stock from a performance point of view. AmerisourceBergen's expected to make next year $5.02 per share. Now, you could multiply that by the number of shares outstanding to figure out what their total bottom line profits are expected to be next year. But in the market, we break that down to earnings per share, and we have $5.02. They're expected to grow their earnings by 13.3% over the next 5 years per year. We extrapolate that out. We apply a multiple that's appropriate for a drug company like ABC. I get a five-year target price of $156 per share. The company's currently trading at $90 per share. And it sports a dividend yield of 1.3%, which is more in that range that I was talking about. Today's dividend world is not 22%. What Cedro was sporting, it's more in the 1.5 to 3.5% range, and AmerisourceBergen falls within that range. And for that reason, it's a stock that I own in my income account, my growth and income account. Now, just because we're looking for income in this account doesn't mean we have to own fixed income and bonds. There's other vehicles that also deliver income. And if you can throw in the potential for growth on top of that, well, ABC has both of those attributes. So it's currently a stock that I own at Gunderson Capital Management. It's ranked number 10. Out of 3,934. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Jack was ready to quit and justified in wanting out. Ineffective boss, deadweight co-workers, no recognition, a struggling business. He dashed off a blistering resignation by email, then hit the delete key. Now, more coolly, he picked up the phone to arrange an evening with an old mentor. Later, he talked things over with his best friend, who happened to be his wife. The next day, a renewed employee went to work. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. The new Jack was just as aware of his job's shortcomings. Only now, he intended to be the difference he had long wanted to see. The best change to a bad job starts inside us, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak.
That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Professional Money Manager Bill Gunderson, President of Gunderson Capital Management in San Diego, California. Well, I don't know. It seems to me, as you listen in, and we do things a little bit differently here in San Diego at Gunderson Capital Management than other firms around. But you know what? Everybody's got to decide for themselves. I believe there's merit, many different approaches to the market. I have no problem with the index investor that feels more comfortable just buying some indexes over time and riding through thick or thin. It would probably be best to buy those indexes and wake up 20 years from now and see where those things are at. Well, you know, that's been a pretty good methodology. When I got into the business, the Dow was at about 3,000, I believe, and now it's at 17,000. So had I just gone asleep 20 years ago, wake up today, have a pretty big portfolio, right, through index investing. I have no problem with that. But along the way, there can be some really scary times in index investing. You can, we just recently had a 53% drop as recently as 2009. And that was the year you were going to retire, you know what I'm saying? Half of the money had disappeared. Now it has come back since then is the other side of that argument. So I have no problem with somebody who wants to just be an index investor. Another very popular form of investing is asset allocation, which is basically buying indexes or ETFs or whatever from different asset classes, diversifying amongst the asset classes, realizing that the two main asset classes out there are stocks and bonds. Stocks are ownership in companies that go up and down along with the fortunes of the company, and sometimes, many times, with the fortunes of the economy and the world. So you have risk there in owning stocks. You have market risk, you have sector risk, and you have individual company risk. But at the same time, you're not going to see an index double in a year or six like a stock. A stock can have a lot more upside potential than an index can have. And a stock can have a lot more upside potential, obviously, than a fixed income instrument. But along with more potential to the upside comes more risk to the downside. The bond market, on the other hand, is you're a lender. You're lending money to companies that you expect will pay you back someday. And along the way, you'll get a nice coupon, a dividend yield, a return on your investment. And if you get lucky and interest rates fall along the way, then you're also going to receive some capital appreciation. Now, if you look at the last 20 or 30 years, when you go back to the years when interest rates were 16, 17% during the Carter era and inflation was one of the biggest problems that we had here in America, and you could earn 15, 16% on a CD at the bank, to where we are today, interest rates have been coming down for the last 25 years. That's why a guy like Bill Gross has become the bond king and a rock star, creating the biggest mutual fund of all time. In fact, when he left PIMCO, they had $1 trillion under management. But that was then, this is now. Now we have to look ahead. Interest rates can't go from 17 down to 1 anymore, can they? Now that we're at been to 1, we're back up to 2, little over 2, there's not much room there for capital appreciation going forward. And for that reason, I don't think we're in a good environment for fixed income. But I have no problem with the person that wants to go out there and buy bonds and hold them till maturity and collect the coupon and get all their money back at some point in time. But you don't have the upside potential that you have in the stock market. That's the trade-off. So there's a school of thought that says, well, let's mix 50-50 or 60-40 or 70-30 bonds with stocks. Now, if you take a look at last year when the stock market was up 30%, the bond market was down about 7%. And when I did the math on that last year, a 50-50 mix would have returned about 5%. You wouldn't have gotten the 30 that the market delivered because your bonds, the loss in your bonds, offset that. And you could say, well, yeah, but it also protected me. Look at the big down years in the stock market. Let's go back to 2008 when the stock market was down 38% and the bond market was up 32%. You would have only lost 5% that year instead of losing 38% in the stock market. And I would come back and say, well, what if you would have been focused in the best asset class that year, which was the bond market? You could have actually made money that year. So I have no problem with the asset allocator. If that's the route that you've chosen, my observations over time have been, you know, there's 5%, very little upside, very little downside, just kind of middle of the road. I would call it mediocre returns myself. When I rank the mutual funds, I have another database that has about 3,000-4,000 mutual funds in it. At or near the bottom consistently are the asset allocation mutual funds. So if you want to know what kind of expectations you should have of an asset allocation model that you're following, take a look at an asset allocation mutual fund that is allocated about the same way that you're allocated. Take a look at the 10-year track record. Take a look at the 5-year track record. In fact, that's a good assignment to do while you've got some days off here. Go to Morningstar.com, type in the search bar, asset allocation, and look at some of the asset allocation funds. There's numerous asset allocation mutual funds. Look at their 10-year average. Look at their 5-year average. Look at their 3-year average. Look at their worst year. Look at their best year. You can probably look ahead to the next 1, 3, 5, 10 years and expect something very similar. It is what it is. And if that's the course you choose to take, hey, no problem. But if you would like to pursue a course where we try to go after the best asset classes at any point in time, give us a call. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or pwstreet.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.